The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Consider yourself a home dreamer? One who watches the renovation programs on television? Are you just waiting for the right time to build or renovate your dream home? Welcome to Winning the Dream Home Race with Steve Clipp Architect. Steve has spent 3 decades learning how to win at the dream home game. He has insights into the psychology of space that could strengthen your marriage and soothe your soul. He has an understanding of market forces and the methodologies of construction that could save you thousands of dollars, and he could make you a winner. Now, here's Steve Clipp.
Hello, people. Welcome back. This is going to be my last live show, at least for a while. It takes a lot of effort to produce a show and a lot of preparation time. So I need to stop now making new shows and concentrate on how to achieve outreach with them. Each one of these shows is a tutorial on some aspect of achieving your dream home. And as such, I don't really have many live listeners, but I have a lot of people who download the shows and then listen to them on their own schedule. The shows will still be available on the Voice America Network and also on my website. So you can either go to Voice America or my website and find all of the shows. And as I say, they're each a tutorial on some aspect of creating your dream home. My job in the next couple of months is going to be developing a more broad marketing base based upon what I've done on this show, and relating it and pulling it back into my primary business, which is designing dream homes. And also that's my passion and my love and all of that. I really believe that you can create joy and romance in your home. So 2 shows ago, winding up, I talked about creating joy in your home. Last show, I talked about how a home can instill romance and how it can strengthen your marriage and your family. These are probably my 2 primary messages that I want to put out there. For this final show, I'm coming back to the money, because the money is really important. For most people, their home is their largest expense, their largest payment or bill every month. And it also should be their largest investment. And I think it can be their best investment. Let's put aside emotion. The home is an investment, and we can look at it purely in that sense and talk about what makes it a good investment or what makes it a bad investment. It's an investment just like any other. Just like, you know, buying IBM stock. If you buy it low and sell high, it was a great investment. You made money. So the same rules apply to your home as an investment as apply to a stock market investment or any other. First of all, you've got to assess the quality of the product. Obviously, higher quality investments, higher quality products will be worth more than lower quality ones. A well-built house will be worth more, a better investment, than a poorly built house. About 8 years ago, if you had the choice of investing in AOL or in Google, well, you know how that investment choice went. So you look for quality in your investment. The second one is a whole lot of investment value is based on supply and demand. And understanding where you are in the supply and demand curve has a lot to do with whether you make a good investment or a bad investment. 6 years ago, we all listened to the radio. We all hear all these commercials about buying gold. Well, 6 years ago, the country was flying high. Things were looking up. There wasn't much demand for gold, and it was selling for $300, $400 an ounce. Today, there's a huge demand for gold and a limited supply. Now it's selling for $1,600 an ounce. You know, so if you understand where you are on the supply and demand curve, and when I look at housing, housing has a supply and demand curve. During the 2003, 2004 through 2007, every single year we built a record number of houses. And each year was more than the year before. If you do that for more than a couple of years, you build up a huge supply that isn't matched by demand. At some point, the demand will not be there. You've got all these houses sitting around. The prices will plummet. That's what happened. Now, we have a reverse case. Is that, first of all, when the houses' prices plummeted, we had all of these empty houses sitting around. One of the things that happened is that the marginal housing, the housing on the peripheral, you know, very old stock that was barely livable, a lot of that was abandoned because there were newer houses that they could get into. And that old stock was torn down and burned down, just disappeared. So there was some fixing of the supply-demand curve by getting rid of old stock and replacing it with new. Then what we had was 4 years, 2008 through 2012, where we underbuilt the supply of houses. As a normal basis, we need to build 1 million houses a year in this country in order to meet the increasing demand from our increasing population. For the last 4 years, we built less than 400,000 new houses a year. That means we way underbuilt the supply. Interest rates are good. In fact, interest rates are great. People are starting to feel more comfortable about their incomes. And now suddenly we're going to find that we've flipped over on the supply and demand curve. We've gone from too many houses and giving them away to the situation very quickly where we're going to find ourselves with not enough houses and people are bidding up the prices. So it's interesting. Real estate does this all the time. Real estate has this big curve to it where it goes from boom to bust to boom to bust. And if you understand that, and buy on the bus and sell on the boom, you make money. It's a great investment. But the thing is, we're coming into a period where demand is going to outstrip supply, and we're going to see prices rise. They're supposed to rise 4 to 5% this year. And it will keep up that way. The other primary tenet of investing is buy low and sell high. It doesn't matter whether it's IBM or a home. If you bought IBM stock in 2000 and sold it in 2007, you bought low and you sold high. Super. You made a great investment. If you did the reverse and you bought it in 2007 and sold it in 2009, it doesn't matter what stock you bought. You lost money. It's a bad investment. Same thing holds true for houses. I mean, in fact, exactly the same. Buy low and sell high. There's a, you know, and the question is, there's two questions. One is, how do you understand the market trend? And the second one is, how do you find undervalued properties or properties that are selling low? Well, the first one, how do you understand market trend? Houses appreciate 3% to 5% a year. They can't appreciate faster than that. This is over the long run, over the 20 years, 40 years, the long run. They can't appreciate faster than that because they are tied to how much money people can spend on them. So if incomes, people especially getting into the housing market, tend to buy as much as they can, which means the only way that they can spend more on a house is if their income goes up. Or conversely, if interest rates come down. It means that your income, if incomes go up typically at 2 to 3% a year, then housing prices can only follow that 2 to 3%. They can go up a bit more as we saw during the mid, 2005, where they relaxed the rules and let you borrow more of your income and had your payments be a higher percentage of income. But, and the other way that housing prices can go up is if interest rates drop. In other words, you can pay a lot more for a house if the interest rate is 4% than you could pay for a house if the interest rate was 6%. So understanding the houses go up 3 to 5% a year. Well, we had prices in the mid, 2005, 2006, 2007 era where in some areas, the prices were jumping 15% a year. And in 5 years, they had doubled in price. There's no way that can continue. It's anybody in the housing market, warning bell should have been going off in their head. This can't last. We can't have something jump up in value, double in less than 5 years, and have that continue. Because in the normal course of events, they would have gone up 20% in 5 years. So we saw prices get really high, and of course they had to drop. Understanding the buy low, sell high continuum has a lot to do with whether you make a good investment. The same thing is really true right now of the stock market. When you look at the stock market, it was down very low in mid-2009. And it has doubled since then. In fact, it's back up to, it just is topping its highs of 2007. If you look at a long-term curve, every time it hits that high, the likelihood is it comes back down. One of the strange phenomena with the stock market is that retail investors, the man on the street, tends to buy when prices are high and sell when prices are low, which is, of course, the absolute wrong thing to do. Well, you have to be careful you don't do the same thing in real estate. When prices jumped up, you know, you have to make sure you don't get caught. The time to buy is not after prices have gone up 50% in a couple of years. The time to buy is when prices have gone down 50% in a couple of years. Always buy something when it's cheap. And then sell when it's high. This is, when you're talking about real estate as an investment, the most important power that you have is the power to choose when to buy and when to sell. And that's, yeah, the power to choose when to buy and when to sell. If you think about it, if you bought a house in 2000, and, you know, you were feeling good, you bought a house in 2000. If that house jumped up in value and you sold it in 2006, it was a great investment. You made money. You probably made a 50% return on your investment during that time. If you bought the house in 2006, and then sold it in 2010, you lost your shirt. You bought high, and then for whatever reason, you had to sell low. The real key is that you only sell when it's low if you have to. If you lost your job, if you can't possibly make it work and stick with it. Anybody who, you know, held on to the house, who said, okay, it dropped in value, so what? I can hold on to it, I'm fine. And held on to it to today is back to good times. Today, and it depends upon the neighborhood, it depends upon the city. In Washington, D.C., prices are back to their peak of 2006, 2007. In my neighborhood, houses are back selling for what they did in 2006. 2007 was a peak, not quite there. The whole thing is, if you bought a house in 2000 and you didn't sell it at the bottom, but kept on and held on to it to today, you still made money. It was still a good investment. So it isn't what you, well, it is. First, buy quality. Quality will always win out. And, you know, I have a house I designed back in 2002 and built. And it is a fantastic house. It was built for, about $1.4 million at that time. Just the highest quality everything, a great design, great lot, everything worked. The realtors walked into that house when it was finished and looked at it and said, this house is worth, you know, $1.7 million, $1.8 million. And it has held value. If that house went on the market today, it'd be worth $1.7 million, $1.8 million. At the same time, another house is built, even bigger than this, as much fancy things in it, but it was boring. It was boring. It was a spec house that was built to sell. Built for the same $1.4 million, land and, you know, property and construction cost, and went on the market, didn't sell, and finally sold for about $1.2 million. difference in quality. One house was perceived high quality, sells for a premium. Another house is perceived low quality, or just simply ho-hum, boring, same as five others we looked at. That sells at a discount. So you buy quality. Quality of materials, quality of design. You look to the trends. You buy on the lows and you sell on the highs. And you understand that the biggest power you have is the power of when you buy and when you sell. The final thing before we go to break is understand that, and it's a fascinating to me, an investment, a real estate investment, you make your money on the front end. You make your money when you buy it. When you sell it, it's just cashing in. But the determination of whether this is a good investment or not is at the front end when you buy. And what this means if you're building your dream house is that the more cost competitive you are in building your dream house, the more you watch the dollars. You don't say, I'm going to live here 20 years and it doesn't matter what it costs, I can afford it, or you know, I'll make it back when I sell. You watch the dollars on the front end. You buy at a good price. If you buy at a good price, you've got a lot more leeway in what you can sell it for. And you've got a lot more upside potential. If you overpay for it on the front end, and I've seen so many custom homes where they overpaid on the front end. If you overpay on the front end, then you've compromised and you've really beaten down your upside potential. And you've increased your downside potential. So it's what you buy in on the front end in real estate is where you make money or not. Okay. When you come back from break, I'm going to talk to you about there are five ways that a house is a much better investment than the stock market or virtually any other investment you can make when we come back from break.
Talk. That's all we do is talk. Yeah! If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Each week, Jimmy Gould brings you the stories and the people that you want to hear about. Tune in to A Current Life to hear about the journey to success, how our guests became the people they are today, and the highs and lows they experienced along the way. Each hour will leave you inspired and entertained as Jimmy gets up close and personal with every week's guest and shares ideas you can identify with and apply to your own life. A Current Life with Jimmy Gould airs Fridays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Think of the world 50 years ago. Now think of this same world and how it'll be 50 years from now. Did you know that if the world's population continues to grow at its current rate, our children and grandchildren will only have 25% of the resources per capita that our parents and grandparents had? We must preserve the foundation of a quality standard of living. That foundation starts with Go Green Radio. Join your host, Jill Buck, for Go Green Radio every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America. Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. or send an email to cliffark@yahoo.com. That's CLIPPARCH at yahoo.com. Now back to winning the dream home race.
For most people in this country, their home is their biggest investment and their biggest source of wealth. It's primarily happenstance. You have to have a place to live, and we want to have as nice a place to live as we can afford. Just over time, it appreciates. You build equity in it. It appreciates. And it becomes not only a place to live, your home, but it becomes an asset, the source of your wealth. However, the message I want to get out there is that compared to other investments that you can make, your home has five big advantages over the other investments. So let's start with that. First one is leverage. There's some, with some exceptions, but for the most part, if you buy a stock as an investment, you pay 100% of the cost up front. Under some circumstances, you can buy on margin. You can borrow 50% of the money to buy that stock. But that's risky and really not a great idea. So for the most part, if you buy stock as an investment, if you buy a bond as an investment, you pay cash for it up front. Real estate is the one investment that other people are willing to lend you money on. They're willing to let you leverage the investment. One of the key tenets of most successful investors and businessmen is their ability to use other people's money. Well, you as a real estate investor in your home are taking advantage of using other people's money. You only have to put down 20% on the house. Everything else is borrowed. It's using other people's money to buy your house. And that's a huge benefit. The whole thing, reason for that is that real estate has an underlying value to it. Even when everything goes in the toilet, it still has some value, and the underlying investor who you're borrowing your money from for your mortgage is protected by that underlying value. The question is, at what point do they continue to be protected? And what we saw is that you can't borrow 95%, put 5% down or 0% down, any of that. The investor isn't protected. Makes no sense for them. 20% is about normal, where the investor is protected and you get to use their money. What does this mean, leverage? It means that if you buy a $300,000 house, you pay $60,000, 20%, and you borrow the rest. Houses, as I've said, houses return on average 5% a year. Think of that $60,000. If you said, well, I'm going to rent and put that $60,000 that I have in the bank, I'm going to buy IBM stock. If that stock goes up 5% over the year, then you made $3,000. If you instead buy a house, put $60,000 down, and that house appreciates 5% over the year, now you made 5% of $300,000 instead of 5% of $60,000. So now you made $15,000 on your investment. the value of leveraging is that based on your $60,000 investment, that $15,000 is a 25% return. So using leverage, instead of getting the 5% return on the IBM stock, you get a 25% return on your down payment on the house. It's the first one, leverage. Second, great advantage. So what it is you can buy a much bigger investment. All you have to do is hold on to it. And in the end, say 30 years later when you pay off the mortgage, but at any point in between, you have now the wealth of that great big investment you were able to buy with leverage. Second big advantage to a home as an investment, second big advantage, is that you get to use it. This is intangible, but it's true. The IBM stock, you buy that, you don't get to use it. In fact, you don't touch it. It is simply lines on the paper. And as long as it sits there, it has no reality except, you know, conceptually. I own $60,000 of IBM stock. Now, how else you get to use? Now, you could, as I said, you could invest in stocks and live in the rental. That would be, you know, that's another viable way to look at things. I'm not going to put my money into a house. I'm going to put it into the stock market, and I'll live in the rental. The trend is most people, when they rent a place to live instead of owning, they rent less. If they were buying, they may want to buy the $2,000 house. However, renting, they don't want to throw too much of the money away. The money disappears. They only rent the 1,500 square foot. So they live in a less affluent, you know, they don't live in as nice a house renting. And if living in the bigger house that you own makes you happy, then that's a benefit. That's a huge benefit to the home as an investment, is you get to use it, you get to live in it, you get to enjoy it. Wow, I have this $300,000 home that's mine, and I wake up every morning in this home instead of in an apartment. So that's a big benefit. And you pay less. You know, you may say, I'm willing to pay $2,000 a month for a mortgage payment, but I'm only willing to pay $1,500 a month for a rent. And another reason that you tend to buy less. Here's a question, though. Will you actually put that money in the bank, or will you put it into your stock portfolio? I'm renting instead of buying, which means I've got $500 a month more that I should put into an investment. Well, the tendency is that you don't put it into an investment. What you do is you say, I have $500 more, I can get the nicer car. You know, I can go up and get the BMW instead of getting the Ford. Or I can get the $30,000 car instead of the $20,000 one. Or you say, I've got $500 more. Well, I'll go out to dinner on Friday night and Saturday night because I've got more money in my pocket. The issue is that you don't invest the money, you just keep it, or you spend it. Okay, The third big advantage to your home as an investment is that each month you bank equity. Meaning, we talked about this $2,000 mortgage payment on your house. The first time that you, you know, your first mortgage payment that you make, even if it's a 30-year mortgage payment, the first mortgage payment you make, $300 of it is equity. That means $300 of it goes directly to pay down what you owe on the house. That's money in the bank. That's exactly the same as if you took that $300 and stuck it in a savings account that you can't touch. Great. Another great value to it. Then the fourth reason that your home is a great investment is that the tax code subsidizes your investment. This is really incredible. And I think actually what I'm going to do is I'm going to wait and go into this after break, because this is probably one of the greatest things that happens with in your home, is how the tax code subsidizes it and gives you this big benefit when we come back from break.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, voiceamerica.com.
Do you feel as if your life is just filled with random awkward moments? Believe me, you're not alone. Tune in every Friday for TAG, the Awkward Girl Guide, with your host, Ashley Iola. Ashley has learned to own her awkward, and she guides you how to do the same. It's awkward, but it can be a lot of fun, too. We'll talk about relationships, sports, food, health, family life, and social life. Each show hopes to make you a bit more in control of your awkward. Tune in to TAG, the Awkward Girl Guide, Fridays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Ready to chat about your favorite soap operas? The Daytime Discussion is here with Dan J. Kroll and Soap Central Live. For the past 15 years, Dan has been dishing and discussing on SoapCentral.com. And now he's taking the talk to the airwaves of the Voice America Variety Channel. You'll go behind the scenes with the biggest stars of daytime, along with guest commentary from the Soap Central columnists. And we'll take your questions and comments during our live show. Soap Central Live, every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific, on Voice America Variety.
Stimulating talk gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to clipark@yahoo.com. That's clipark@yahoo.com. Now, back to Winning the Dream Home Race.
The greatest investment benefit from your home as an investment is that the taxpayers actually subsidize a quarter to a third of your mortgage cost. Long ago, Congress, in its wisdom, decided that home ownership is a desirable thing. And it is. Home ownership has fantastic societal benefits. It's the sense of ownership gives people ownership in the society. When you own your home, you have roots, you're part of the community, you care about the community, you care about where you live. When you rent, you care much less, and you don't have ownership, so you know, you're far less caring about where you live in the community. Plus, when you own your own home, you have stability. You tend to stay in the same place for years and decades, and that's stable. In fact, most of the retirees in our society, their biggest asset is the home that they've spent their life paying for, and now they've got free and clear, and this is a tremendous stabilizing factor. Whenever you look at neighborhoods and you decide whether this is a good neighborhood or a bad neighborhood in which to buy, the percentage of home ownerships, of owner-occupied homes, is the biggest factor in telling you whether it's a good neighborhood. So for these reasons, and then the final one is that it builds wealth. And wealth or having assets is the key thing that makes you feel that you have ownership in the society and that you, as I said, that you care about the society, you care about the country. So home ownership has tremendous benefits to the society and to the country. And that is why during the, starting in 2000, starting even before that in 96, there was this huge push in the federal government to increase home ownership, especially in low-income and minority communities. We saw that got into a lot of trouble, but the truth is it also helped a huge number of people. There are a tremendous number of people who never owned a home before and now found themselves owning a home, and most of those people still own that home and still have all the stabilizing factors of owning the home. So it is by and far one of the most important things in this country in creating a stable society that cares about each other, is home ownership. And all of the mortgage debacle thing, most people came out of that fine. All the problems were about 5% of the people. Most people came out of it fine. A whole lot of people got the chance to own a home who had never had the chance before. Now, the flip side of that is that to encourage home ownership, the federal government gave us the mortgage interest deduction and property tax deduction. So you look at the $2,000 monthly mortgage payment we were talking about. About $1,500 of that $2,000 is deductible. What's not deductible is the $300 in equity that you paid off. That's money in the bank to you. What's not deductible is the property insurance. But the mortgage interest and the property taxes are deductible. That's about $1,500 of the $2,000 payment. If you're in the 25% tax bracket, which is, well, you know, $100,000 income, and you live in Texas or Florida, somewhere that has no state income tax, then that deduction is worth about $400 a month to you. Meaning that of the $2,000 mortgage payment that you made, Uncle Sam gives you back $400 in reduced taxes. Tremendous benefit. If you live in North Carolina like I do, there's a 7.5% state income tax. It's 10 to 13% in California, 10% in New York. Or New York City. All of that gives you the same benefit. Sorry, I'm starting to get lost. But what it means is that in North Carolina, I get 33%. My mortgage deduction is worth 33%, which means of that $2,000 mortgage payment, $500 a month, because I'm saying $1,500 is what I pay for interest and taxes. $500 a month is actually comes back to me in reduced taxes. That is tremendous, tremendous benefit. And I'm just jumping around. I'm trying to figure out what the fifth. I said there were five real benefits to home ownership as an investment. And I have lost what the fifth is. Okay, here it is. So what happens now is that with the mortgage deduction, it means that your $2,000 mortgage payment, $500 comes back to you in reduced taxes. $300 is paid in equity. So it's like money going into the bank. That means that if you chose to buy the house at $2,000 a month, it actually cost you an after-tax cost of $1,200. If you chose to rent the apartment at $1,500 a month, it cost you $1,500 a month. And you can buy a lot more house and use that as an investment that's appreciating instead of living in a cheaper apartment. Here's the fifth advantage to your home as an investment, is that you can improve the outcome of the investment. And this is one of the great things. If you buy stock, all you can do is decide when you buy it and when you sell it. That's the only way you can affect the outcome of that stock. And that's a guessing game. I'm guessing IBM is cheap right now because it's at its 52-week low. I'm guessing IBM is high and it's more likely to drop than to go up, so I'm going to sell it. With a home, you have a lot more control. With a home, well, your decisions, first of all, your decisions about what you buy can affect investment, but also what you do with it, how you work, you know, if you work on it and improve it and maintain and fix it up, you improve your investment. You also get a nicer place to live. Here's a story. Six or seven years ago, really at the height of the housing boom, I was working with a couple on a major upgrade of their home. They had a house that was worth about $400,000 in a really good neighborhood of town. And we outlined a pattern of renovation additions, including a master bedroom suite, a new kitchen, all of this, that was about $450,000. So taking this home from a $400,000 home in a good neighborhood to an $850,000 home. Always before, so I designed it, we laid it out, came up with the cost. Always before you renovate, you need to check the market and see if you can buy the same thing or better with the same overall investment. And as soon as we created these goals and identified the cost, we looked at that. Well, when they were looking around, they found a hidden gem. They found a house that should have sold for $1.4 million. It was $1.4 million house. And it was now under $1 million. For reasons I'm going to. Here is their decision. And here's the sort of thing you can do to make your home a better investment or worse investment. They looked at their existing house. It's a good neighborhood. And once they did all the improvements and spent the $450,000 make it into an $850,000 house, it would be at the top end of the neighborhood, top end of a good, desirable neighborhood. This house they found was in a better neighborhood, a much better neighborhood, the top one in town. And even at $1 million, was just in the middle of the neighborhood. A lot of houses more expensive. If they renovated their existing house, they put $850,000 into it, and it would be worth $850,000. Because it would then be at the top of the neighborhood, the upward potential, the price increase potential would be limited because it would be at the top of the neighborhood. If they bought this other house instead, sold their house, bought this other one for the same $850,000 or $900,000, it would be worth a lot more money on resale because intrinsically, you know, it was by quality. Intrinsically, it had more quality to it. It's a bigger house in a nicer neighborhood and in the middle of the neighborhood instead of the top. Well, what went wrong with the house? Why was this house selling at such a discount, especially in an up market? The biggest mistake was marketing. This is a $1.4 million house, but it went on the market at $1.7 million. The owners thought, we can make some money on this. Well, in the high-end home market, homes are judged when they're resold. And the truth was, this was 6,000 square feet. All of the, you know, had all the pieces to it, was very good looking from the road. However, the aesthetics weren't quite there. And it had the number of rooms, everything. But in the high-end market, you look at 10 homes, all in the same price range, and you pick the best one. Well, in the $1.7 million market, this home could not compete. It was not. It would not win the beauty contest at $1.7 million. So they dropped it to $1.4 million. This is a tale of how to blow an investment. So they dropped it to $1.4 million. But now the house is stale. It's been on the market for a year, and everyone's identified it as being one not to look at. So it sits there, and they also wonder, it's been on the market for a year, what's wrong with it? So they dropped it, no one came. Truth was, it was little things that were wrong with it. Every color decision in the house was white. There was too much white. The kitchen was too big and too white, and it was too far from the breakfast room. So it was cold, just turned people off with finishes. The master bath was too big, too white, and very awkward. So with one of the things I hate, which is a clear glass shower in the middle of the room as if you're on stage in front of people. So the house continued to drop, and it dropped to $1.1 million and then to $1 million and sat there. My clients looked at it and said, you know, we can get this house for $900,000. And it's really $1.4 million house. What's wrong with it? We went in and looked at it. And this is what I encourage people to do. And looked at it and said, the only thing wrong with this are they made marketing mistakes and decorating. The house is too white. Take some of the white and change it to another color. Warm up the kitchen by changing out the cabinets for wood cabinets. Move the breakfast room right next to the kitchen instead of, 20 feet away. Easy things. Cozy up the master bath. Change the white carpets. Paint. So they bought the house at $900,000. Spent less than $100,000 on it, fixing it up and changing it from redecorating, really, including some furniture in that cost. Well, 6 years later, they decided during bad market, or 5 years later, market's terrible. They decide that the kids are all grown and away at college, so now they're going to sell it and move to something smaller, because this is 6,000 square feet with seven bedrooms. And put it on the market at what they consider to be a reasonable price, and it sells in the first week. And it sells for 25% profit over everything they've got in it. In a bad market. Because good investments, underlying quality, if you can bring that out, what they did, coming around to it, is they affected the quality of their investment by what they did. They had one that was damaged, and they bought it at a discount because it was marketed poorly and appearance was poor. They marketed it well, appearance was good, and became a great investment. 25% return in a down market. Your home is an investment, and you can make a great investment and also have a great place to live. Thank you.
Thanks again for listening to Winning the Dream Home Race. Please join your host, Steve Klipp, again next Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. We'll help you come one step closer to building or renovating your dream home.